This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome back to the Morning Run. We are back at our usual time, 6 a.m. every Monday to Friday. And I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, joining me in the studio. And please remember, it is not a Monday. It is Tuesday.
I came to work yesterday.
In studio this morning, the effervescent Kusu Chuang.
Hello, hello.
And the astounding Noel Lim. Yes. I seem to have forgotten how to speak, so please forgive me for that. It's been a long weekend. And as we get back to the normal, I think we're getting back to the normal 6 to 10 every morning, taking you through the day. And, you know, let's talk about what stories do you guys actually know before all that? How was your weekend?
It was just like any other weekday, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, Chuang? Why was it like any other weekday?
Well, because we've been basically cooped up in our houses for the last 2 months and it just whizzed by. So Monday is like Sunday. It's the same.
Well, you know, Tan Sri Muhyiddin had said that you can go out beyond 10 kilometers.
Yeah. So actually, I've been doing that. I've been doing that for the last few weeks, but I'm still going stir crazy.
Okay.
Actually, my folks went out for lunch. No, lunch, yes, on Sunday. I didn't follow. I was a bit too paranoid still. They went for dim sum at a Chinese restaurant.
Can I?
In KL. So really? They went to Bangsar Shopping Centre.
Yeah, some restaurants do allow.
And they said, like, basically, they were given a table for four at one of those big round tables. So you're already social distancing within that table itself. And they've spaced out maybe 2-3 meters between each of the tables. So they're all adjusting to it because they have rules.
I don't think there's social distancing in enclosed spaces, like even aeroplanes, right? How can they work?
Because that's my
they're
paranoia.
They run on central aircon, right? So viruses are airborne, man. Do you know what I mean?
So I know other people will be able to listen to your conversation.
Yeah.
This is quite a distance. I'm curious, though. Was the restaurant full?
It was.
Could have been full.
It was.
Yeah, no.
Pent up demand for dim sum.
Also, it's Mother's Day. And it was also half capacity, I think, because they've taken a lot of tables. So all the private rooms were full, apparently.
Did they have to cut a hole through their face mask or did they?
Yes, that's totally what they did. A little slit through the face mask there so that they could let the food in.
I was in SIDS. Today's what, Tuesday, right? I was in SIDS on Friday. A lot of people there, mainly white people.
Oh, yeah, that's true in Bangsar. I see more of them outside.
That's right.
Yeah, so definitely, I think this is a part of the way of getting the economy running again and getting people back to work. I think this week, more people are going back to work. Today is supposed to be the end of phase four or phase three.
I've lost count
at this point, but we are going into the next phase. I think that was the CMCO extended until June 9th, if I'm not mistaken. And definitely something we'll be keeping tabs on. But, you know, one of the things that the MCO has gotten us into is virtual meetings, right? That's the thing now. We always talking about it, and maybe there may be a thing called Zoom fatigue. I haven't heard of this. I haven't really talked about it or felt it yet, but apparently people are feeling it, and we're going to be talking about this right after this. Actually, have virtual meetings and video calls got you exhausted? Now, if you've got any tips or thoughts on this matter, you can let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or drop us a message on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, and stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. And that was Oasis with Live Forever. And I'm sure some of us want to live forever, but I'm not sure whether we want to live forever working from home, especially if we're surrounded by virtual meetings. Or at least this seems to be how some people feel. They're feeling exhausted by the perpetual barrage of virtual meetings.
Yeah, it's true, because obviously when you meet someone in person for the first time, you use a lot of visual cues to pick up on what that person is saying and to decipher whether that person is honest or not, brash or not, real or not, knowledgeable or not. When you're on a Zoom meeting, you can't, right? So your brain has got to go into overtime to go and pick up and try and decipher those messages. And a 10-minute Zoom call is like a one-hour physical person call. And I've experienced this in real life. And more to the fact, you're also talking to a screen, which is very, very weird. Especially when the other people on the other side, they turn off their monitors or their microphones and cameras. And then you're talking to a void. It's really weird.
Yeah, so I think it really depends on what role you play during that Zoom call or even a webinar. So if you're a participant and if you decide to switch off your video, then it gives you a lot of freedom, right? But it also, I feel that it makes you a very passive person in the whole engagement. So, which actually makes me feel more tired.
Yeah.
I rather actually just sometimes prefer to switch on my video and just be part of the whatever that's going on. So it depends if you're a participant. But I can tell you, if you are the instructor, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that right? I think is tiring. Yeah. And you are like talking to a void, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If people switch off their video. So unless, it depends on the kind of engagement you're doing, do you put down some ground rules and say, hey, let's switch on the video for everyone and so forth. So I think it really depends on the role that you play. And also with colleagues, I think then, if also because you're online, you can't pick up body language and cues and that. And so sometimes awkward conversations may not be raised, in meetings, right? And that is like, that's postponed like till maybe after the lockdown. So I think it really depends on your role. And I've come to be more selective what sort of webinars I want to participate in, what Zoom calls I want to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the wrong webinar can really be tiring. But you know what's not the wrong webinar, though? You know what's not the wrong webinar? The BFM webinars.
And I've been watching your webinars, Roshan.
Oh, no.
I tuned into your personal find. I tuned into two, actually. So I will reserve.
Roshan, how do you feel
when you are
you're the moderator there together with Malik?
I actually enjoy it a lot. I like the moderating aspect of it. And you're right, it's different. It's different. But what I do is I just focus on what the guests are saying, right? So you're right, Chuang, in the sense that you got to listen to different cues. You've got to... The trickiest thing when you are moderating a webinar online, is that the silence, that is the thing, right? Because you're not sure whether the person is done, whether technology has gotten in the way, or whether they're just taking a breath.
So you're the instructor, the participant, or the moderator. These roles all are quite different in terms of how you interact with a void, right? This Fast Company article also talks about how, what if you're not in one of those classic professional settings? What if you, for example, you're a refugee and you're trying to, and you have to, right? Potentially, right? Try and convince some tribunal or some court or some judge somewhere that you've got the right intention. And already it's quite tough, is triply tough. And any lag in bit rate, for example, when there's a delay, it makes you seem as if you're hesitant, which then puts another mark in your disfavor.
Yeah. So, and you co-moderate with Malik. So what are your strategies when you, coordinate with Malik?
So assigning the roles are very important, right? So when I moderate, I ask the questions, I dictate the flow of the conversation. Malik is there looking at Facebook. Right. So for those who don't know, Malik Ali, founder of BFM, but also founder of iLife. So he's looking at Facebook. He's looking at interaction. He's bringing up the questions that people are asking, because when I'm on the Zoom webinar thing, I'm just focused on the guests. So at least we can separate that duty. So Malik doesn't really focus so much on the guests unless he wants to. And also I kind of use him as an real world example, because you've got the financial planners, but you also want someone who's gone through life, who feels what people feel on the street, right? And Malik has got a lot of interesting stories. So on that note, actually, we've got a webinar later today at 12:30.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug right
That's
here.
That's why I picked this story.
Hey, by the way, the Facebook webinar thing.
Can I finish my plug? Well, no. So... Hold on, Chuang. Give me 1 minute. So, should you cut down on protection plans during this time? I think this is something.
Protection plans.
Yeah. So, insurance, things like that, right?
Okay. It's not about the Zoom call.
Not about the Zoom call. So, how do you deal with it at this point? Because you're looking for, how do you manage cash flow, right? Should you cut protection plans? This is what we're going to be talking about today, live on Facebook at 12:30 p.m. We've got two financial planners coming in, and really, this is going to be. We're going to try and discuss your alternatives as well. Are there other things you can look at? And also for those who don't have protection plans, insurance plans, we're going to be talking about the basics there.
Have you noticed a lot of more engagement? Like maybe in week one, you had like 30 people, and week four, you had 300. Did you notice more?
No, we spiked at the start for sure.
Okay.
I think the first few ones, I think especially because of the uncertainty that was going on, people just were tuning in. But it averages maybe... So we tried a few things. On a public holiday, it was 200. On a normal day, it was about 200. On public holiday, it's 100. So it really depends. So we'll see how today does, really. But exciting times. Definitely the sphere of communication has changed. And like how we moved to texting has its own sort of etiquette. Zoom is going to be like that as well. And there is definitely going to be an adaption curve. Now, up next, speaking of online, we're going to be talking about what Malaysians have been searching online and also what Noel and Kusuchuang have been searching online. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts, let us know on Twitter at BFM Radio or drop us a message on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. And that was C. Fernando by Jenny Lewis, and you're back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Kusu Chong and Noah Lim in the studio this morning. And right now, we are taking a look at, we're asking everybody out there, actually, if you're listening to us at 6:20 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, what have you been searching for online during the MCO? And I'm almost afraid to ask Chuang this. I'm not turning to him. I'm looking away from him right now because I don't want to ask him.
Probably
but
something dodgy.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, hello. Stop
why.
Casting aspersions on my character, man. Come on.
Yes, I mean, so
although it's reasonably justified.
So I will start the conversation by saying that I have been searching a lot about monitor and mice and basically computer equipment. I've been watching loads of YouTube videos about dream desk setups, things that I will never be able to afford because these setups cost maybe upward of $6,000. But what have you guys been looking up, Noel?
Well, I wanted to add to what you say. So thank God that the MCO has been extended to June 9th, right? It's worth your investment in setting up an office desk. Anyway, so for me, I've been searching a lot for podcasts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I tend to prefer audio. So
Noel, you listen to things other than BFM?
Oh, yeah, I do.
How dare you?
Yes, of course.
Blasphemous.
Yes, yeah. I listen a lot on psychology, neuroscience, mindfulness, things like that. So that's what I've been... usually podcasts, right? These things you don't really need to see anything visual unless it's quite spectacular. So I haven't really actually bought anything. The only thing I bought was a headset with a mic. Yeah. So because I attended a Zoom a webinar and this lady had this nice mic and all that. I'm like, wow, she sounds so clear. So,
is that right? Are they effective? Because yes, I might get one as well.
Yeah, I find it's noise cancelling and she's super crystal clear.
But that's also because you do Zoom calls and webinars and stuff like that, right? So yes, you need that audio to be crispy clear.
Yeah.
Right?
So I thought, okay, that's the only toy I shall reward myself.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chong?
You can be sure that when Noel Lim put some dollars to use, it's like to really good
the
use.
ROI.
For the next 10
the
years.
The ROI is X, 100X.
You're
going to
be sure that the ROI is better than public bank. And then the return on assets will also be better than that. For sure one.
Something like that.
Yeah. So that's actually very interesting. Because I think when it comes to webinars, we were just talking about this earlier. Audio is so important. Because your video, you can sort of, we expect it to be grainy. But if you can't hear someone, your communication goes down the drain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Chong, I'm almost afraid, but I'm not afraid enough to not ask you, what have you been searching for during the MCO?
Well, I've been trying to start a new venture, right? Some new direction in terms of what I'm doing personally. And I've been spending a lot of time on that front with my coaches and all that. But at the same time, I've been spending a lot of time on the investment world and some of the narratives. And I've discovered new characters. I've been listening to interviews with people like that. So Paul Tudor Jones is another one I've been listening to. Kirill Sokolov is one other guy. Stan Druckenmiller. Ray Dalio. Just been reading a lot of these guys.
Didn't Paul Tudor Jones release a note? Was it late last week?
He did.
Then,
that's right.
Recognizing
Bitcoin.
And,
yeah. So all that. Been doing a lot of reading on Bitcoin as well.
Yeah. The finance Twitter world blew up with that note.
I know. So there's a lot of activity, and what the Federal Reserves and central banks are doing, it's incredible, right? So we are heading for this outcome, which nobody has any clue what's going on. So I've been spending a lot of time getting caught in rabbit holes, basically.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I've actually the MCO has pushed me back into the world of Twitter.
Really?
And those who have been because it's just interesting. So I've got 17 different lists, and each of them one for finance, one for Malaysian things, one for tech creators and stuff. And it's just interesting to see. I guess I got more time, but some people have been commenting and be like, "Oh, suddenly so active again, huh?" I'll take an article like that, I'll read it, and I'll just tweet out a little bit of a quote there. It's interesting engaging back with Twitter at this point. I think leaving Twitter and learning a bit about the outside world and then going back to it has given me a bit more ability to deal with it.
Yeah, I just get this whole sense that the world that we knew it from before March 18th is no longer there. A lot of people say, people have got short memories, we're going to go back and all that. I'm not so sure. What do you guys think?
I think some things have definitely changed for me. I think I'll probably be eating more at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one. I think it's just this hygiene thing, right? It's just become so clear to me. And then maybe working more online. Working from home and working online. So that's something I will definitely do because I've already set up my place for it already, right? So, yeah, the infrastructure is there.
Yeah, so definitely, I don't know how we got from online searches to here.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a fascinating roller coaster ride getting to here.
Well, obviously, from the story here, from the provider of the information, Mashable.
From the provider of the information.
All the way from bread and home appliances to... wait for it. Sex toys.
Amazing. Definitely. It's always wonderful to see what the internet brings forward to us and the information. This is where data analysis...
Hey, I discovered Foodpanda, by the way.
You discovered it?
Yeah. It's browser-based.
Like Christopher Columbus discovered America?
Christopher Columbus...
How many years after that?
The good thing about Foodpanda is that it's browser-based. You don't have to download that darn thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I like
I'm
that.
Over-apped on my phone already, man.
Yeah,
are you guys over-apped?
Yeah.
That's right, same. Yeah.
So... on that lovely note there, as Chuang discovers the wonders of delivery, online delivery in this MCO age, we're going into the 6:30 a.m. news. And to take you there, Roxanne by the police. And after that, a look at international headlines. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. That was Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap. And joining me this morning in studio, Noel Lim and Khoo Soo Chuang. And Chuang, on the Bloomberg right now, what is your sweet disposition?
Well, out of the whole plethora of stories, the one that grabbed my attention was the Bitcoin story. Monday, Bitcoin's halved. And that's, I think, an event that happens every 4 or 5 years or so. And everybody's wondering what it's going to do to the price. I checked the CoinMarketCap, which is the de facto platform for blockchain currencies. And right now, it's still about, the ringgit equivalent is still 38,000 ringgit. So that's interesting. I'm not sure whether the actual halving has taken effect in terms of where the price is. But yeah, 38,000 ringgit. The other thing I also want to bring up is around the world, Elon Musk is trying to sue Alameda County, one of the Californian regions, because they want to keep the lockdown in place and for his Tesla factory to not reopen. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants people to come back to work. And so everybody's all kind of like gone further against him, asking, you know, this. Don't forget, this is the guy that says he wants to save the world, but he wants to also imperil ourselves.
Well, this is a guy who needs his Twitter account taken away from him
as well. Doesn't he?
As a head of a public listed company, he really needs his phone taken away because, was it last week or the week before, he went on a little bit of a Twitter roller coaster. Did he tweet the fact that he thinks the stock is too pricey?
He did, yeah. He wiped out $7 billion.
And then the name of his kid.
X19, right?
Yeah, some AI language.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not going to try and pronounce it.
Twitter account.
But what I am going to do is ask Noel Lim, what are you looking at on the international scene?
Well, I think we have this Wuhan story here. Wuhan, where global coronavirus pandemic, where it began, has reported the first cluster of new infections. And this is since a strict quarantine was relaxed in early April. So I think we're looking at 5 cases were discovered in a single residential community. And it's suspected that it might have been linked to an infection reported a day earlier.
Right. So this is the thing, right? So now as lockdowns and all these movement orders sort of taper off, you're going to see the rise, the second wave and all of that. And I think this is where one of the models that was discussed was how that, yes, this is going to be a thing. This is going to how the next few years are going to play out. There may be a cluster. In fact, near my house, Old Town was entirely shut down. And
that's right.
And razor wire, not barbed wire, by the way, razor wire all around the place because there was a cluster there that came out from the Old Town market, which I think was connected to the Celaya market, which shows you kind of how things will play out, like the EMCO, as everyone else goes into the conditional MCO. I think this plays out locally as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's wider interpretations of what's happening because, first of all, I think at a national level, a lot of countries around the world have been accused and are suspected of not reporting accurate numbers, and chief of which is obviously China. But the wider implication of China's reinfection scene is also the fact that there's now, I think, a sense within the Chinese government that they've come to a point where they've become so incensed by Donald Trump's accusations of China as the source of the virus that they're now looking at perhaps even re-looking the phase one trade deal, which they inked with America in January. And, you know, these things can escalate pretty quickly.
Well, I think a lot of experts have said this, right? The virus is not going to go away.
It's not going to go away.
Even though you come out of the lockdown, a cluster may emerge. And of course, quite worryingly, I think in Malaysia, they are starting to find some clusters as construction workers are going back to work and they are being tested now. And so and there may be some hidden reservoirs here and there. And of course, you know, just looking across the causeway in Singapore, you know, now there are what, over 23,000 cases now?
I mean, obviously, Boris Johnson has also been in the news saying that a vaccine may never be found, obviously, because the virality, these things evolve so quickly and mutate so quickly. I also want to point out, I have a friend in Jakarta who I talk to quite frequently, and he says, and, you know, don't quote me, even though I'm saying this on public radio, whatever numbers that Indonesia reports in terms of COVID-19, just add two more zeros to the end.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that what we spoke to an analyst about this, Aaron Connolly?
That's right.
And he, and we have the podcast here, we'll try and tweet it out later or something. But it essentially, he talked about how they're just highly underreporting the numbers.
Absolutely.
Because they don't have the infrastructure to do it. And I think they're, they were by a factor of, there was a certain factor, but he was looking at a number that was at that time scared us, and I probably should have looked up the number before I brought it up, but oh well, that is life. But it is it, all these big countries, including India for that matter, it's just so big. How do you even begin to sample size and count, and how are you making sure that you do it accurately and representatively?
Yeah, so India is like a country of many countries, right?
Yes,
and,
yes,
the population of 1.4 billion people. I mean, so far, I think they have like, 62,000 cases, and maybe it's also a question of adding another zero or two. And sometimes it's not the government's fault, right? It's really the infrastructure to just test and to monitor and to record and to persuade people to come forward if they have symptoms. People, bear in mind that why people won't come forward, because they will have to take time off from work. And that means one day's of wages gone, right?
Yeah, the daily wages is a big deal for a lot of people who especially live hand to mouth every day. They need that income. And in fact, now if you look at India, they are relaxing restrictions on commercial and industrial activities in an attempt to, I think, revive their stalled economy. As it is, India didn't have a great year last year in terms of GDP numbers. And this year, was they were supposed to at least make some headway there. And obviously, I mean, this the COVID-19 hasn't just impacted them. It's impacted everybody. But they're looking at how they can do that. But now the question comes up is, could there be a second wave of infections as you start releasing people back into their natural habitat?
Well, the Germans are reporting a second wave. The South Koreans have reported a second wave. And the South Koreans tend to not lie as much as, you know, shudder to think. The Chinese, even America wants to reopen their markets now, even as Trump has said that they have prevailed. Deaths, don't let's not forget, has topped 80,000. 80,000 in America. And one gets a sense that his hyperbole and his narrative against China has really been to mask his own ineptitude when it came to America's defense against the virus.
Yeah, but it looks like in America, New York's numbers are looking a bit better. I think they've said that they've passed that critical level and are starting to look at reopening at this point. I think it's all about keeping... you don't want the infection numbers to peak beyond a point where your medical facilities can take care, right? That is the goal, to not overcrowd the medical and hospital facilities. So it's while New York numbers have been going on, I think the wider US numbers have been a bit more worrying there. Now we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the local papers and seeing what they're on, what's on the front pages there. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning. And that was Dream Tonight by Always. Lovely little tune there to ease us into 7 a.m., which is happening in 9 minutes, if I can tell time correctly. But right now, we're taking a look at the papers. And I think we'll start with Kusa Chuang, who's got the Edge Weekly opened up. So how is... And again, that's the only Edge we're going to get for now. What's on the weekly here, Chuang?
Well, my favorite section by far in the Edge Weekly is always, frankly speaking, it is the one that is unattributed, and it's always the most honest in terms of the way it looks at the markets. And the lead item in Frankly Speaking this week is basically whether, under the headline of a convenient excuse, whether the pandemic is being used as an excuse for the MACC, a proposal to the MACC to study a proposal to delay the implementation and enforcement of Section 17A of the MACC. And this particular provision provides for a strict corporate liability on a commercial organization that failed to prevent corruption. Okay, so that's the thing. So basically, corporations should be made liable if they don't stem corruption within their ranks. And this is a big deal. especially now when there's accusations of public sector governance in the fray.
It takes two hands to clap, right? So if there is no giver, there will be no taker. So, yeah, well. But, okay. Implementation is another thing, right?
It is.
And before we move on to the NSD and the Star, Chuang, anything else that's popping out to your interest there?
Well, Joyce Goh is actually, the headline story in the Edge Weekly is basically Joyce's interview with Abdul Jalil Rashid, the new chair, the new president and CEO of PNB. And he's got some amazing taste in socks. And when I went to his Twitter page, I'm serious, right? On his Twitter page, one of his items in there is crazy socks, right? So I think he's known for his socks. But what is interesting, he's put in place a few direction changes at PNB, including the tenure of independent directors within that situation, the introduction of a treasury department, and also I think there's going to be a fundamental change in how they look at investments. So they want to introduce all-weather portfolio approaches, where in the past I think they would focus on AUMs or they'd focus on value investing or they'd focus on growth and momentum investing within each of the different funds. So it's all very fund manager-esque-ish, but that's what you expect of a fund manager.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, they're also looking at diversifying the portfolio internationally as well. I think they're looking at a cap of 30% for foreign holdings, but don't hold me to that. Right now, Noel, what are you looking at? You've got the NSD and the Straits Times in front of you. Hey, that's the same paper. You've got the NSD and the Star in front of you.
Yes. So New Straits Times, on the front page, they have a picture of an elderly woman eating on her own. And I think that's the outcome of the MCO, right? People cannot cross states to go and visit their families, their parents. Some of them may be living on their own. So, having to break fast on their own, Hari Raya, celebrating on their own, unless, I guess, you can try to get permission, but I think it might be difficult to travel across states. The Health Ministry is appealing to people to think of loved ones who are elderly and in the high-risk categories if they want to go back and see their parents. Having said that, the government has been saying, please practice physical distancing, right? But I do see pictures on my Facebook. People are breaking fast and, sitting very close proximity. I guess it cannot be helped, right?
It's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard.
It's how are you going to enforce that, right? So another story here, the health DG says don't use antibody test kits to screen workers. He's saying use the antigen-based ones. That's what he's telling companies. And also, this thing, the big worry here is for us is, are there any hidden reservoirs? And so now more construction workers are being tested. There has been cases of workers being tested positive for COVID-19. And so I think the government is trying to assure us that it's because these people are coming forward. But then my question is, should we now increase testing and be very risk-based in our approach in trying to find any hidden reservoirs? And right now, the immigration is also getting really tough on hundreds of migrants. There has been a morning raid, also joined by police and armed forces and several agencies to look for migrants, especially those who are undocumented.
Yeah, definitely the testing element is going to be, it's not going to end in any, even when the MCO, the CMCO comes to an end, right? This is something that's going to be ongoing for as long as, one, as long as we don't have a vaccine, and two, as long as the virus is still out there. I mean, it's always going to be out there, but as long as it's still a concern. I've got the Malaysian Reserve in front of me, and the headline here is GLC's reshuffle sees return of politicians at top posts. And basically, the paper, the report here is expecting all these GLCs, the changes that we're seeing to keep happening as the PN government looks to cement its position. And I think this is something we've seen, and it's not thoroughly unexpected or anything like that. And if I turn over to the back, it looks like if we're talking about mergers and acquisitions, the Manchester City parent company, Football Club there, has added a ninth club to its portfolio there, Lommel SK Deal. So they've got, they're expanding their empire over there. And on that note, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, the 7 a.m. news bulletin, we're going into the 7 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll be taking a look at some of the jobs numbers out of the US, as well as whether Chinese stocks are the place to be looking towards. Now, to take you there, About a Girl by Nirvana. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.